Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Boundaries keep you safe.
You don't have to compromise on these very integral things in order to, you know, meet somebody else's deadline for your life.
The difficulty of implementing boundaries.
It's a woman who is confident in her own voice,
yeah,
confident in her own choices, who can even have that conversation that says, you know, 1, 2, 3 strikes, sir.
You're out of here.
Thank you.
Hello. You give the devil an inch, he gonna take a mile and keep pushed.
Hello and welcome to the Two My Sisters podcast. I'm Courtney.
And I'm Renee, and we are your online sisters and hosts of the Two My Sisters podcast.
We are all about promoting the wellness, growth and development of a community of sisters around the world.
And in today's episode, we're going to be talking about boundaries, establishing and maintaining boundaries in the dating space.
Necessary.
Romantic relationships. Just we're back at it again, you know.
Yeah.
You know, the girls are still dating.
Mm.
They're still outside.
They are.
I know that there are some sisters that are happy in their long-term healthy relationships, whatnot. But for every one sister that is happy, healthy and dating, there are at least another 5, 6, 7 girlies who are just
finding it
difficult to navigate the space. So I thought this could be the greatest opportunity for us to discuss it in this episode.
I love it. I love it a lot.
Excitement. You know, the girls always love the romantic stuff.
Oh, you guys love a good dating episode. To be very honest with you, so do I.
I do.
Who doesn't love gist about romance?
Just a small,
you know,
just a little,
an idol of our time.
A little. But before we get into all of that exciting stuff about love, do we have any housekeeping announcements?
As some of you may have been notified, yesterday was actually the ushering of my 27th year. We thank God I am officially 27 years old. Now, as we film this, I'm 26. But as you hear this, I would have matured. As some would have said, actually, I would have transcended.
You said,
into 27. And I'd like to announce to the nations that
now,
as I have entered my grown woman era.
Let's go.
The Lord will be glorified.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Selah.
Selah. Now, honestly, I had my birthday yesterday, as of when you're listening to this. Mm-hmm. And it's great to celebrate another year of life.
Happy birthday, friend.
Thank you.
You know, it's May. I'm a firm believer of birthday months.
Yes.
So don't think that whenever you're listening to this, don't think that you've missed out on the opportunity to wish our good sis happy birthday. She will be accepting birthday wishes, birthday prayers, and birthday pounds, GBP, throughout the whole of this month.
Yeah. You guys already know what I'm on, 27 for 27. If you want to give your girl 27 pounds, you can donate it straight to the Bright Future Academy. We are currently building a school in Ghana, as we tell you guys. We never fail to let
you
know. But yeah, that project is nearly done. But you know, we need funds. The children need funds to go to school. And so if you would love to gift me with anything, please donate £27 to the Bright Future Academy
on
my behalf. I would be forever indebted.
Absolutely. And you know what is another thing that you can do? If you, like me, have been encouraged by Courtney as a human being, as a wonderful sister, as just a woman of glory, a woman of anointing, then you should head on over to her channel, where she has a brand spanking new podcast called Be Encouraged. Now, I don't know about you, I am Courtney's biggest fan. And I even need to go and comment on episode 2. I'm like halfway through it. I need to go and comment.
Listen, because the girl is
fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
You know, it's one of those ones it's one of those ones where it's very easy to become familiar with your friend's gifting.
Aww.
But you have a talent for speaking. You really do. And I am so glad that you have the space and the environment to share that with the world, especially around faith, because the girls need to hear the gospel.
Amen.
But they also need to be encouraged. It's not enough to just hear it, but we also need to be encouraged to follow it. So I've been encouraged. I ain't gonna lie to you. I get Courtney in person and I get her in my earways. So, you know, it's giving 360. If you also want to be part of the 360 fan club, be encouraged. Join it. watch it, stream it, support it, share with a friend that needs to be encouraged. Let's get that encouragement going, especially as it is May. We are fast approaching halfway through the year, and I know some people have lost steam. So if you're trying to pick up that train, I would encourage you to check out Be Encouraged.
Thank you. I see what you did there.
You did.
I love it.
I'm in my grown woman, but still funny bag.
Oh, 100%. Grown women are hilarious.
They really are, you know. And I hope that we continue to just become funnier and funnier alongside our wisdom. Because people are always like, oh, you know, I want to grow in wisdom and maturity. I also want to grow in humor.
100%.
Hallelujah.
100%.
Is that it for our housekeeping announcements?
Yeah.
I think so.
Oh, actually, keep your eyes peeled. I have been in conversations with Abimbola from Four.
Whoa.
Putting together this plus size class. So if that is something you'd be interested in, let the English come today.
Hallelujah.
If that is something you would be interested in, comment down below. Let me know.
Come on, let us know.
We'll put on another class.
Come on now. Yeah. I can be the DJ for this one. Now. 100%. I'm going to sit down. I have no interest whatsoever.
We're looking at a different thing, actually. Wouldn't it be step aerobics?
Okay.
Yeah, it'll be a different activity.
Okay. Might just join in then somewhere at the back.
I think you'd love it, actually. You know?
Oh, I'm joining in now. You got me folded like a deck chair. Keep your eyes peeled. That's it. Keep your eyes peeled. Join the mailing list.
Real, because that's actually where first access we often, will be, I'm sorry to tell you.
This is the thing, and we often leave it till the end because we assume that people around these sides know what to do.
Oh, clearly. Gosh, you should do a running one.
Yeah.
You should do a running one.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That would be
really cool.
I'm up for that. Funnily enough, my Hackney 5K is coming up in like 2 weeks. So like, please send me lots of love. I've been running and stuff and it's been a journey.
You say it like you were forced. No, it was your own endeavor. Yeah,
and this is a challenge. You know the ones where you actually got yourself into something? Mm-hmm. But it's been such a wonderful journey. I remember there was one time I went for a run. I came back. I saw Courtney. Courtney was like, girl, how you doing? How you been? I was like, girl, my foot bleeding.
Yeah.
It was my entire fault because I was doing entirely too much and I wasn't wearing the right socks for running.
You weren't wearing your fourth sock.
I was not wearing my fourth socks. So the back of my shoe was really the friction between that and my ankle, and I didn't realize until the end. So I had to limp my way to the end of that finish line, but I got there, and that's the most important thing.
Exactly.
So sisters that are into like running and all that kind of jazz, just the sporty babes, just pop a comment down below if you'd be interested in that. It's giving the TMS sports community.
I like it. TMS Fit, I think they call it.
Oh, keep your eyes very peeled. Single eye emoji, double eye emoji.
You know when we texted each other that I wanted to screenshot and put no context to this week's episode.
Just
single, double. Hilarious.
Actually hilarious. Yeah. Well, the house has been swept. Alas, we must take our activities and our sweeping to another home that also needs to be cleaned.
Mm.
Thus, we dive into a ding, ding, ding.
Dilemma.
Hi, sisters.
Hey, sweetheart.
As a new listener, I'm deeply appreciative of the wisdom and guidance shared by such beautiful women of faith.
Well, welcome to the sisterhood.
Welcome, welcome. That's so sweet. She said beautiful and we're women of faith. Oh, my God.
Wogs.
Wogs. Reclaiming the wag culture. My dilemma revolves around a longtime friend from college. While he hinted at romantic feelings early on, I prioritized studies and we were able to maintain a genuine friendship over the past 6 years. Despite occasional distance due to other commitments, our bond remained strong. Towards the end of last year, our communication dwindled. I assumed it was because he was balancing a demanding schedule, including pursuing a master's degree, working full-time, and nurturing his nonprofit and photography ventures. Recently, we reconnected over the holidays, where I unexpectedly found myself drawn to kiss him. Later on in that day, I'm telling you, it was really relevant to today's episode. Later on in that day, he asked to kiss me. This came as a surprise, as this was the first time in months we hung out and had the chance to catch up. Overwhelmed by emotions and recent experiences, I laughed it off, unsure of how to proceed. Having recently navigated complicated feelings with another friend, I've been cautious about entering into another situationship or undefined relationship.
Understandable.
I believe God has a partner for me, but I currently feel like I'm in a season of self-discovery and focusing on the purpose God has given me. Over the past 5 months, I've been torn between reaching out to my friend and apologizing for laughing off his feelings or maintaining distance to avoid complicating our relationship further. While I miss our friendship dearly, I want to respect his feelings and maintain honesty. Despite prayers for clarity, I remain uncertain about the right course of action. Any advice on navigating this dilemma would be greatly appreciated. Love from a new sister in New Jersey.
Oh, hey.
P.S. Happy early, happy early birthday, Courtney, from one May baby, May 1st to another.
Oh, thank you, sister. I hope you also had a happy birthday, May 1st. Happy birthday, pew, 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 fireworks. Oh, this is an interesting dilemma. Well, firstly, I think it's very honorable for you to want to be respectful of his feelings. And, you know, it seems like there's a mutual affection.
Yeah.
But if you feel as though this might not be the right time to, you know, pursue a relationship, I think it's down for you, or if that's what you're questioning, I think it's down to you taking a step back and really just assessing, like, okay, there's this person I kind of like, and he seems to like me too. Is a relationship something that I actually want? Is it something that I can see myself committing to pursuing, right? Not even just the commitment aspect of it, because we don't know where this will go. But is this something that I am willing to make room for in my life, even off of the back of last week's episode? If this is something that you desire, it's probably something you're going to have to make room for. So the question you need to ask yourself is, are you willing to make room for it? If the answer is yeah, then I think proceed with caution, but proceed. Like, it sounds like it will be fun, but it all comes down to you making the decision about whether this is something you're willing to put one foot into at the very least. I think the reason why it's important for you to go away and do that thinking is, even though he likes you, if you're not ready, you shouldn't pressure yourself just because somebody else seems ready. And I also think you should know what you want to get out of it before getting into it, because things like this can easily evolve into a, oh, he likes me, I like him, we flirt, and we're just flirting continuously till kingdom come.
Can you imagine?
So yeah, just like go away and think, okay, I have been single for a while, I've been enjoying this season of my life. Am I willing to move into something different, you know? And if you are, then let him know. I kind of felt like kissing you too.
Oh, spicy.
What are we going to do about this then, are we? Now, I'm not saying go and kiss him. Keep your lips to yourself.
Little spicy minks, yeah.
All right. But let him know. The feeling's kind of mutual. Let's explore where this goes. Let's get to know each other a little bit. Like you said, it was your first time. Your first time meeting in person?
Yeah, after quite a while.
After a while, yeah. So just see if that feeling is sustained after meeting each other a couple more times. Like, was it maybe just the overwhelming, you know, I've missed you, oh my gosh, you've missed me too? Or like, I don't know. Was it just a result of not seeing each other for a really long time, or was it a true emotion? I think you'll see that after meeting each other a couple of more times. So yeah, that's what I feel.
Yeah,
I don't think I'm understanding this dilemma too tough.
I think it's one of those ones where sis has maybe been for a lot in her lifetime, and in terms of her romantic relationships, they haven't been positive.
Yeah.
So with like situationships or like kind of heartbreak, and now this person being a friend of yours for like the past 6 years, to now dive into something can probably feel so scary.
Right.
So I definitely hear her caution and nervousness, and I think with the competing message that she feels that she's hearing from God around, like, I want you to focus on your purpose and establishing yourself. It's kind of like, do I proceed? Am I going to be able to do that if this is a season that I think God has called me to focus on myself?
Right. Okay, I get you. Sorry, I was adjusting the microphone. No,
you're good. Because I was shouting.
I would say I hear it. I actually hear that. I think if you are feeling like God is telling you focus, then I would really like seek not only like confirmation, but also contentment with that instruction, at least for now. And what makes it good actually is the fact that you are friends. You're not kicking this guy out of your life. You're not saying, you know, hey, gotta close that door. You're actually just being like, I really like you as a person. But right now, I just don't think I'm ready for anything like that, or I can give the priority to something like that. So let's just remain friends. But like, okay, no, you wanted to kiss me. Okay. Like kind of not laugh it off, but joke about it. Like make it something you're both comfortable just being like, oh, sure, we'll see what the future holds. But I think there's no need to be super awkward about it. I think if you've gone away and you've prayed and you feel as though God is telling you, this is not the time for you to do what it is that could happen, then it's okay. There may be a time where God gives you the release where he's like, yeah, go for it, you know? I also think just make sure this isn't you overthinking it, not to sow doubt in your heart, but just make sure this isn't you, you know, running to what you think God would say, but not actually like listening to what he might be saying. So just continue to pray about it if there's still that uncertainty within you. But it sounds like you've gotten your instruction, but you're just struggling to feel like it's the right one. But I really do think God's instruction towards you is the best one to follow, in my opinion. I just think men be around. Men be around. And if this guy is your friend, like, he'll be around too. So maybe this is something, but it might be in the future. Maybe it's just not for now. There's just a lot of like maybes. But I think the one thing that is certain is God has told you something. Just do it.
Stick to it.
Yeah. Now, thank you for explaining that.
No, you're good. You're good. Yeah. No, I mean, when do I ever disagree? Like, we only just add and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. But I hear you in terms of the overthinking it. I think sometimes, especially when our experiences are colored by quite negative experiences from the past, it can be easy to project that onto the future and think, okay, this is what, you know, God wants for me right now. And to be fair, point blank period, God always wants you to focus on your purpose and always wants you to focus on becoming a better person, getting closer to him. I think one of the questions you need to ask yourself is, would this be a distraction from that rather than being something that complements your journey to intimacy with God? So you haven't really noted anything from this dilemma as to whether he has a relationship with God, if he's a Christian. These kind of things are important. And I think also looking at some of your past relationships, rather than seeing them as complete failures, maybe learning that, using them as learning experiences instead. So obviously, what were the areas that things didn't work out in, but then what were the things that you actually learned that you're looking for moving forward, and being quite strict but also quite intentional about what you're looking for from a relationship moving forward? Because I think sometimes the lack of clarity as to what you've learned from the past season can make the next season really difficult to navigate. So I think you need to do some work yourself to really understand, unpick, unlearn, understand what happened in that last season, in those last situationships and those relationships, and be clear about what you're looking for, so you don't feel confused when you are in situations with your friend, or even just situations point blank period with the opposite sex. Because like Courtney said, men gonna be around. And I know that you said that you're believing in God for a partner and that you desire companionship. So there will always be an element of you that will have to be discerning when it comes to having relationships with men anyways. So making sure that you are clear on that and you're not simply projecting a broken heart as opposed to moving forward with the clarity of the lessons learned. And then I would also say, be clear with the guy as well. Even if it is, you know, I'm currently confused or I'm currently taking a back step, I think it's really important that you actually communicate to the guy, since he kissed you. You know what I'm saying? Like, y'all kissed or whatnot.
Wait, they actually kissed?
Yeah.
Why don't I listen? Am I no, you had comprehension problems? What the heck?
No, it's okay, girl.
All I heard was she wanted to kiss him, he wanted to kiss her.
No, girl, they give me up.
You're a clown.
Yeah, man.
That can make things calm.
I don't, that's the thing. I don't know if it was like a light peck or if we went to France. You know what I'm saying? I don't know.
You know what's actually a disgusting word? What? Snog.
It is disgusting. Do you remember Snog Marry Avoid?
Yeah. We talked about that though. Yeah. Wait, did we?
Snog Marry Avoid.
Interesting show.
One day we should play that.
No.
And people should give us a list of people that we think Snog Marry Avoid.
Okay, fair.
Because that show was outrageous.
That would actually be good.
That show was outrageous. What do you mean these people are covered in you? Oh, I'd avoid you. So I'd snog you, but you're not marriage material. So, oh yeah, I'll marry you. Like, do you know how outrageous that
That's crazy.
Anyway, sis, coming back to your dilemma, I definitely think that it is worth having a conversation with him and acknowledging his feelings too, because for him to feel that ready to kiss you, especially after 6 years of friendship, this man was waiting for you at the door. You know what I'm saying? And at least you have 6 years of friendship to reflect on and say, this was a good guy. Like, it's not just any guy that will be hanging around with you for, you know, 6 years and you feel comfortable with them and stuff like that. So I think it would be worth having a frank and honest conversation where you acknowledge his feelings, but you're also quite honest and transparent about your feelings, even if you're still working through them. I think you at least owe him that, especially the level of depth you've cultivated in your relationship. And I think, take a deep breath. Because I think sometimes we can, when it comes to dating and relationships, we can overthink it so much and think, oh, am I missing the mark? Am I missing my destiny or my purpose? Is this my purpose partner? Whoa. Slow your roll.
Yeah.
Take your time with this one. It's actually okay.
Yeah.
Things don't have to be figured out today, tomorrow. It might end up being a process where you guys speak multiple times to really try and understand where both of you are at and then proceed from there. So take your time. Don't be too stressed over this. You're not in a situationship in the same way as, you know, your last relationships. Take your time with it.
I like that. That's good advice.
Yeah. So, and in the meantime, if you're not sure how you feel, don't be slugging him, sports boy. Okay?
Yeah, no, don't do that. That just makes the water muddy.
Yeah, don't do that. I know you want to though, but you know, take it easy. But sis, sending lots and lots of love. We love that you have what seems like a good man around you. And this is, you know, worst things could have happened. He could have been a problematic character that came to Lipsy and now we're confused, but seems like a good guy. And it's just a question of, can you continue to prioritize your relationship with God as you are continuing your relationship with this guy?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All will be well. All will be well. Now, moving on to the creme de la creme of the conversation, which is all about boundaries, romantic relationships, gisty. Now, I really wanted to delve into this topic because I just feel as women that also have a desire for long-term companionship, and there are quite a few women in our midst as well within this community that really do desire long-term companionship. Yeah. A lot of us can get super frustrated, annoyed, just lose hope and faith in the dating process and period because it feels like the guys are just getting it wrong or it feels like we're getting it wrong again and again.
Yeah.
So I actually wanted to start the conversation with asking you, Courtney, what are some of your hard and fast boundaries when it comes to navigating the dating world?
I think faithfulness.
Yeah.
Okay, so when you say dating, what are you describing, actually? That's the first question.
No, not the reverse unicorn.
Because is it...
Sorry, I don't know if I drank something like my morning iced coffee.
I mean, more so, is it just getting to know people is it like I have found a person and now we're dating?
We can talk about both, actually. Okay. So there's the initial, like, I'm just scoping the scenery out. And then there is the, we are going out on multiple dates.
Okay.
We are probably now exclusive, but we haven't decided to be boyfriend and girlfriend, whatever that is worth.
Okay, so like dating.
Yeah.
So I like as an activity. Cool. So
not as an activity. Don't kill
I feel me. Like for me, my boundaries with dating is one, communication. Mm-hmm. I just like honest and transparent communication. I feel like if you're trying to get to know somebody, you should be able to know the real them.
Yep.
And that's not me saying, you know, come and dig up all of your childhood trauma and tell me all about like everything you've been through every day of your life, but more so like I should know very obvious things about you, like how old you are, what do you have children?
Sorry,
have you been married before? Like things like that. Yeah. Like just very honest. Just very honest truths. And the thing is, it sounds funny, but people love to lie.
That's why it's actually hilarious.
Do you get what I mean? Like people actually love to paint themselves as like the perfect person. And it's like you rob me or you rob whoever's dating you of the opportunity of actually picking you for who you are. And I think people probably do it out of fear or maybe shame or to be tactical. But it's like, let's be serious. You're just laying up a trap for your future self at the end of the day. So I feel like one, honest communication is like, or honesty, and then actual communication around like, okay, you know, if you're going to be late, I expect you to let me know. Or if, you know, you can't do something or you want to do something, I want you to let me know. If you're seeing other people, I would like to know. Like, I would just like there to be just open communication, even if it feels like it brings on awkward discussions. I think that's actually really, a really opportune time to get to know about a person's reasoning.
Yeah.
And I think when you learn more about a person's reasoning, you can determine, like, is this somebody I'd want to do life with or a serious relationship with? Because maybe they think a bit waywardly, or maybe they think just different to me, but actually it's quite interesting. So I like communication a lot. I also think I hate, Renee, I hate dating that is too focused on like physicality and sexuality straight away. Like, I don't like it when I've just started talking to a guy and already he's talking about sex. I find it really perverse. I find it really perverse and predatory. I don't know why.
It's the predatory for me.
I'm just a baby girl.
Courts, have you ever received, you know, an inappropriate photo?
Yes.
Unsolicited?
Yes.
No, don't kill me.
Yes. And I find it abusive. It, assaulting. Like, that is assault.
Because why am I seeing your dangly parts? We I ain't even seen you more than 24 hours. Mean?
Or you're sending me a picture of you in the shower. Is this Sodom and Gomorrah? Is this why you pay your phone bill? You filthy man.
Ooh, the FBI is looking at your phone and they see it, your dangly bits.
Do you get what I mean? So yeah, I just hate it because I just feel like it feels like a violation of me. It really feels like a violation. And I know people do it to be flirty or to be, you know, like playful. I find nothing flirty or playful about it. I'll report you to the police.
You have to. That's so unsolicited.
Ew, don't do that.
And oh my gosh, I have a lot of love for men, but the way that some of them be taking the photos for their nudes.
Why have you seen nude pictures, Renee?
Unsolicited pics. I ain't asked nobody, please. Please. My parents are listening to this podcast. Mom and Dad, I'm sorry.
We don't look at stuff like
I don't look at stuff like girls. That. No, we're good girls. Unsolicited.
Yeah, unsolicited. But jeez. Yeah, I don't like it. And something about it makes me feel violated. Now, I'm not like we always say, not kink shaming, not yucking your yum. Like if that's how you enter into the dating phase, it's fine. I think it's just because I don't like that.
Yeah.
So then when somebody does it, even if it's like fine for them, it just feels like we're definitely on a different, two different pages here. I don't like that. It makes me uncomfortable and it will end the whole situation. I don't like, this is really just the list is flowing.
I
don't like when men try to humble you.
Oh,
I don't like it. Lord. That's a big boundary for me as well, because I think, okay, so one thing that happened when like online dating, which was unfortunate, was obviously like my first name is Courtney Daniela, like together. So when I put my name there, it's actually very easy for you to just search who I am.
Yeah.
And I Google people anyway, like 100%. Whether your face looks familiar or not, I will Google you. And so obviously when people Google me, they find a lot of stuff about what I've done and who I am, I guess, online anyway. And then the conversation becomes about me, my accolades, me being a Black woman dating, who is a successful Black woman dating, or yeah. And then suddenly there's this air of like, oh, but you need a man. Oh, and it's like, don't try and do that to me. Every don't try and make me feel small or like I'm in desperate need or something. Yeah. Like, I'm just a person here trying to explore a conversation with a man. That's very wild behavior. So I don't like that kind of, is it negging?
Yeah, negging.
Yeah, when men are trying to,
it's like a backhanded compliment.
Yeah, like kind of pit you down a little bit to put you in your place, or kind of make themselves, you know, some kind of this kind of machismo that makes them an authority over you, a bigger figure over you. And I'm like, you're ruining a good thing for yourself. I'm leaving now.
This
chat has ended. Yeah, so I don't like that. I don't like when men try to like exert themselves as like, well, I'm the man. I'm like, I know it might be a primal instinct, but it's self-sabotage, Tony. It's not gonna work. Another boundary for me actually is around my time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like giving people a lot of time. Depending on the level of investment, I don't like when my time is violated.
Yeah.
I, you know me,
yeah,
I'm a stickler for time.
100%.
Like, even 1 or 2 minutes, I'm like, that lateness could have been avoided.
Mm-hmm.
So what's going on? So I just like respect.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really just like respect on the front of, you actually don't know me from anywhere 100%. And I don't know you from anywhere. So let me give you some honor and you give me some honor, especially as two people who are trying to make an impression. Yeah, so those are some things I don't like. I guess more positive boundaries for me is like, men might consider it more positive. I don't expect a lot of like lavish things.
Yeah.
Like I'm not, I don't want to be love bombed. I don't need you to buy me loads of stuff. I feel like for me, I'm trying to keep my mind as sober as possible so that it's not, I'm not deceived by anything or I'm not swayed by anything, especially material things. So for me, it's more so like, let's just go and have conversation and let the conversation be healthy. Let it also be wholesome to some degree, just so that I can get to know more about how you think and how you navigate the world and how, you know, you as a person, your personality. That's me in the dating phase. Now in the dating, as in exclusively moving towards something more serious, I like loyalty. Like I really do. And that's where for me, like honest communication is paramount. If you even have an inkling that like,
something is up,
you gotta let me know ASAP.
Wrap it up.
Yeah, I don't like the feeling of someone knowing something and I don't know it, because it makes me feel like a fool. And I don't like that. So yeah, I just like honesty. I like honesty. I like honesty. Some I think even with friendships, like, I like honesty. How about you though? So what are some of your boundaries?
I think we have quite a few similar boundaries. The first thing that popped into my head was the boundary around time.
Yeah.
I am also a stickler for time, but more so there's certain times in a day that I like to do things or, you know, there's certain things that are really important to me within my life. And I don't like it when people feel entitled to my time.
So entitlement is a big turn.
What do you mean you're texting me, calling me constantly? And don't get me wrong, I love like consistent communication, but when you take it a bit too far, it's like, you got a job, you're employed,
you work,
you got things to do, or you do, is everything do okay?
Yeah.
I've definitely been in situations where there've been guys that have erred on the side of over communication and communicating a bit too often to the point where I genuinely question, do you have purposeful things that you're doing with your time that you're looking for me every single moment?
Because you're always here, always available.
Why are you always available? And I'm not one of those, oh, you have to be Mr. Mysterious. Absolutely not. I love me my good morning texts, how are you doing, all that kind of stuff. But every hour, hey babes. Thinking of you. I bought a croissant. Thinking of you. I got this coffee.
Jobless.
Chicken in. I was listening to this podcast. Thoughts of you.
It's actually
just
suffocating.
Just wanted to check in. How's your mom?
Very suffocating.
It's giving, it just makes me think of like stalker behavior. Like, why are you on my ass like this? Oh my ass, too much. So that's one like very serious boundary that I have. Another serious boundary that I have, at least in the initial phases, is non-consensual intimate touch. Don't be if we're together, don't be thinking, especially in the very early stages, kind of linked to what you were saying around the boundaries around don't be too sexual too quickly. Don't be coming here stroking my thigh. It's date one, you're touching my thigh.
Don't touch me.
Point blank, like, period.
A handhold if it's, you know, mutual,
it's
consent,
mutual,
but touching me,
whoa,
hold on a minute.
Hold on, buddy, because that is what you are right now. I don't even know your social security number. I don't know where you live. You
I don't know if you wash your hands. I just think, again, it's very presumptuous.
Why you touch me so? It's just too much. So yeah, a big boundary that I have is around physical touch, especially because physical touch is relatively high on my list of love languages, right? So whenever I am touched in a way that's inappropriate, or I feel it just makes me feel very uncomfortable. So that's a very hard and fast boundary for me. Please, please don't touch me unsolicited. Don't send me dick pics. Don't send me that.
Isn't unsolicited nude pictures a crime?
It has to be.
I actually think it is a crime.
It has to be. I don't know what you thought this was. It's too much.
That's the police come knocking on your door. You're going to say, I'm a problem. You're a criminal.
You're a criminal.
Actually a bandit.
And this is disgusting. Stop it. Another kind of boundary that I have is just around like, it's around communication, but progressive communication. So I think whilst I am a very honest, upfront, you know, all that kind of stuff, babe, transparent babe, entitlement to knowing everything about me straight off the bat is a bit too
much.
You don't need to know like where I live for safety purposes on the first date. Like, especially in the initial phases, I think that's more of a progressive thing as the trust is being built. And I think sometimes when people feel as though they want to move the process along quite quickly, so they feel quite entitled to who you are as a person, as opposed to committing to the journey of getting to know you. So it's kind of like, I don't want to waste my time. Tell me everything about you. I'm like, you got to do some work. Yeah, I'm not telling you where I live. Stranger danger. It's not good.
Simple.
So that's also a boundary. And actually a physical boundary is, it will take me a while to tell you where I live. Mm. I'm sorry. Unless I already have some kind of knowledge of who you are before we start dating. If this is, I'm assuming that I've just met this person the first date, whatever. You don't need to know where I live. In fact, my friends probably know where I am at this particular moment. So if you try to kidnap me, then things will happen. It's not good. Don't be creepy. That's a really big boundary for me. And then I think moving along in terms of like dating exclusively, I think very similarly to you, I hate being surprised in negative ways. Mm-hmm. So if there are significant experiences or things that you have had that are still currently impacting you to this day, I would want to know what they are. And I don't want to be surprised in conversation with somebody else. I don't want to be surprised in any kind of interaction. I want you to actually get like, so don't
give over this information. I don't
want to I don't want to be hoodwinked. I don't want to be bamboozled. I don't want to be taken for idiot. None of that. That's a hard and fast boundary. And sorry to go back to the initial, but if you are with somebody, if you have broken up with somebody within the last few like weeks slash months, if you have had any kind of romantic relationship that is still tough, that's a hard and fast boundary for me. I cannot be dealing with you if it still feels like there's a lot that you need to overcome, especially because chances are you're going to bring that into our new relationship or bring that into this space. And I do not have the capacity or the bandwidth to deal with old stuff in this new circumstance. So yeah, those are some of my boundaries. Take it or leave it, men of the community.
Take it or leave it.
But where I actually wanted to go and talk a little bit about is the difficulty of implementing boundaries. Because one thing that I have struggled with, and I'm sure maybe you would have had a similar experience or some of the women that are listening into this conversation, is when you, in theory, have written a whole list of values and boundaries and just, oh, this is how I'm going to comport myself when I'm dating. And then along comes a tall, handsome, fine, he is everything that you wanted physically. But there's some pew, pew, pew red flags popping up. We don't realize it, but in hindsight, often we see that our boundaries start to slip a little bit because the man fine, or there's certain things, you know, real red.
Facts.
There's some fine men out there. I can't lie to you. You know, there's some fine, tall men. Yeah. You know me, I like them tall, dark, handsome. You know what I'm saying? And it makes it difficult for you to honor and respect your own boundaries. So talk to me a little bit about that. Have you ever had difficulty with implementing your own boundaries? And if so, how have you overcome that?
I personally haven't, but that could explain why I've been single for so long. So
she said, pick your hard.
I think the reason why a lot of people say drop their standards or lower their own boundaries or violate their own boundaries when dating, to be fair, I think there are so many things at the root of it, but one of the biggest ones is often either enamorment, what you've described, like, absolutely, I'm enamored by this person, they're really handsome and I don't want to lose them, so I'm just gonna choose to be blind to their red flags. Or maybe they're really rich, or maybe I thought that they are out of my league. Like, it's very reminiscent of the Risa Tisa situation, where it's like, he's paying my rent, sure, I saw red flags, but that rent is getting paid. So I think there's that, there's the enamorment, but then I think there's also a fear element to it, which is something a lot of women experience when dating anyway, right? Which, or around their dating. So it's like, oh, maybe I haven't dated someone in a long time, maybe this person is a good candidate in other ways, but I'm seeing some things which typically I'd be like, I don't like this. This is a sign of something else. But because I may be scared that time's kind of moving, you know, or you haven't dated someone in a while, maybe your standards are way too high, or you have external voices telling you like, that's a dumb boundary to have, you know, this is just normal. These are the times, this is the culture. You may then start feeling like, maybe I should just let them go. But I think that makes us forget that we put boundaries in place because they make us feel safe.
Yep.
And we know what would make us feel uncomfortable. Like, you know, a man touching you in any way is like, don't do that. I know it makes me feel uncomfortable. But if you start to kind of almost gaslight yourself into thinking, nah, but I guess it's okay, he doesn't mean any harm, you find yourself allowing yourself to.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Be uncomfortable. And I think that women have to remember that, like, dating isn't a performance for a man. You are also worthy of being comfortable in the process.
Absolutely.
Of making sure that you are finding someone who makes you feel safe and doesn't violate those boundaries in the first place. I think people naturally have different ways and approaches to dating. So a man may be like, everyone I've dated, you know, I put my arm on their thigh and they're completely fine. So he just may not be aware of your unique boundaries. So I'm not saying that it's like, oh, it's a red flag, you're never dating him again. It's more so, oh, actually, I don't like being touched like that, so don't do that for me, please. And he'll probably respect that, and I think that's a green flag. That's what I mean, like, it's worth having the awkward conversations and actually letting people know what your boundaries are. You know, I didn't appreciate when you said that, or I would have liked for you to be on time, or if, or actually I think sometimes reinforcing positive things so that people know that it actually is a big deal for you and you do appreciate it, like, I appreciated that you came on time, or you kept me in the loop as to the fact that you were running late, or I appreciate that you were forthcoming with this information. I really do appreciate your honesty. I think it lets people know, oh, this is what Courtney likes, or this is what Renee likes, and so let me continue to do that, you know. So I think women have to really, I know we've been talking a lot about like standing on business and being in your executive presence, but I think women need to be a lot more confident in being like, these are my boundaries, I'm gonna stick beside them. And I would hope that you'd also respect them if you want to be with me. But I think a lot of women have not found the confidence in their own voice to say that. I feel like a lot of women haven't found that they have validated their own boundaries in that, like, no, these are my boundaries. They are actually important. And so I'm going to be confident that because these boundaries matter to me, they are worth respecting. They are worth, you know, this person respecting it, but also me maintaining them. Because this is what makes me feel safe. This is what makes me feel comfortable. And so I'm also going to be confident and really stand in my reassuredness that I can assert myself and not be, you know, rude, not be arrogant, but genuinely just, I want to be at peace. And so I'm not going to let you disturb my peace by violating my boundaries. And like, literally, I am the gatekeeper of that. Like, I am the one who is in charge of whether I let this continue or not, or whether I allow myself to still be in your presence despite the fact you make me uncomfortable or not. Like, that's actually my decision. And I think when you take responsibility for that as well, you start to be a lot more firm in the assertion of your boundaries and the maintenance of them. And you have little tolerance for people continually violating them, especially after they've been aware. So I think the reason why people struggle is they haven't found that confidence and they haven't found themselves, they haven't found the confidence to be assertive enough. Maybe they don't feel empowered enough to do it. I know that thankfully, like, we are surrounded by such amazing women who really continually empower us to know, like, your choice is your choice, your standard is your standard. And they will let us know if we're bugging, which I think is a nice measured approach, but they let us know, like, no, if that's what you want or if that's not what you like, that's completely fine. Yeah. Even if it's contrary to their standards, they're just like, if that's you, that's you, stand firm on it.
Right.
So I think also being within a culture or even a subculture that reminds you that, like, you're within your full right to have your standards and maintain them, allow you to not feel scared to enforce them with a guy. And the last thing I'll say, because I know I've rambled on.
No, you haven't.
Is that I think there's also that lack of fear or scarcity, like what we're saying in the dilemma, right?
Yep.
Men are gonna be around. Yep. And I think as much as there's a subculture that tells us men are so scarce, they are the prize. A good man is so hard to find. We are of the school of thought that men are everywhere.
They be around.
Men are everywhere. And actually, a woman is the prize. And also, if you are putting all this responsibility on how society goes on the woman, it's actually more important for me to pick right and then therefore stick by my boundaries, right? So I think it's also having that lack of a scarcity mindset, but also having a contentment that I would rather have the right person and wait for that than to be impatient and get the wrong person. Mm. You know, I want to wait for a good thing and not just a thing for right now. So, yeah, I think that's some of the reasons why, as well as some of the ways to go around it. Yeah.
No, I absolutely love that. And I think just to add to that, I love what you were saying around safety.
Yeah.
That's one of the biggest reasons that I think boundaries are so important. Boundaries keep you safe. And I think it says something about our society, and it says something about us as people and as women when we're willing to put what is essentially our safety at risk in order to appease men, appease narratives, appease this growing desperation or fear mongering or whatever it is that is causing us to overlook boundary transgression. We are actually putting our safety at risk, whether it be our psychological safety, our physical safety, our emotional safety at risk. Because when I do think about a lot of societal narratives around women, it's around giving. We are portrayed as givers. We should constantly give, but giving at the risk of your safety, eventually there's going to be nothing to give.
Facts.
You've given up everything. There ain't nothing to give, baby.
There's nothing left.
Used up. So I love what you were saying when you were talking about safety and having the confidence to really articulate your boundaries, because your boundaries are essentially a manual as to how to navigate you.
Yeah.
You are teaching somebody, these are the rules of the road. These are the principles. If you want to travel down this road, then these are, this is the sign.
These are the laws of the land.
The laws of the land. And if you violate them, then unfortunately, we are treating you as a
literally
terrorist. We are treating
access
you.
Access is denied.
Listen, and do you know what? The one profession that I really respect, ticket inspectors. One thing about it, you have to be like a ticket inspector when it comes to enforcing your boundaries. Because one thing about those ticket inspectors, they ain't gonna let nothing slide.
They don't care.
They see you parked on a double yellow line, hello. They see you even like the scent of a car that is parked somewhere or doing something that they're not supposed to do, that ticket inspector will write you up a ticket real quick. I wish women applied that same logic.
That's a good
analogy. That same confidence.
That's a really good analogy. Facts. They should. Like,
because again, you're putting people at risk. Exactly. It's actually a hazard.
You're
putting yourself at risk.
Yeah,
you know I mean, you're putting yourself at risk and seeing yourself as worthy of being protected.
Yeah.
Being protected by you, not just other people, because we often put our safety and safeguarding in the hands of other people. Mm. Your boundaries are teaching you that your safety starts with you.
It's your responsibility.
And actually, exactly. It starts with your responsibility. And me being safe is actually okay. And I don't have to put my safety on the line to access all of the fun and great and wonderful stuff that comes with romantic relationships. And I think you set a very dangerous precedent when you allow people to violate your boundaries early on in your relationship.
Facts.
Because one thing, you give the devil an inch, he gonna take a mile and keep pushing. You for filth.
Facts.
Dry.
Facts. You have to be so careful.
So careful. So don't give an inch. Don't allow anybody to take a mile, especially those of you that have had your boundaries violated in some way. I think sometimes people really struggle with bouncing back and seeing themselves as worthy of being protected once they've been violated, right? It's, I've gone through this in my life and that now becomes the perception that I have of myself. And a lot of people actually don't deal with the deep feeling of unworthiness and lack of protection that comes from a violation. It could have happened when you were a kid. It could have happened when, you know, you were in adulthood or whatever, but not allowing the transgression of your boundaries in a former experience to dictate your worthiness or your capacity of being protected by yourself, I think is super, super important. What happened to you is what happened to you, but it doesn't have to be who you are now. And it doesn't mean that you now are, now you have to surrender your rights to your body or you have to surrender your rights to your emotions. So I think that sometimes the journey of overcoming starts with unpacking why
it's all right, you'll get it. No, you will. I can tell it's a philosophical thought. Come on.
You know when it's percolating.
Dig deep, sister. Bless us with the word.
You know when ministers, they've got to wear this. Literally, thank you, Holy Spirit.
This one is coming, a download from heaven,
Jesus
actually.
Jesus! Kingdom!
Come on! Instead of you to be blasting in tongues, then get it.
Now they're going to click off. I'll tell you, they're going to click off this podcast episode.
We know that we have annoyed you guys.
Jeez. Something around the fact that the journey of overcoming starts with you understanding what it was that leveled you in the first place. You need to understand what it was that was the roadblocker. You need to understand what it was that came like a bulldozer in your life and kept you down.
Yeah.
Once you understand it, that's when you're able to overcome it. Yeah. When I think of like games, for example, lots of those really... like, okay, not like super violent games, but when we think of something like Call of Duty or we think of all of these other games that involve you really understanding the villain in order to overcome, I think oftentimes when it comes to overcoming boundaries, you have to understand what is the villain that I'm facing in order to overcome, and then I'm equipped to deal with it and move past that particular level.
That's good.
And the thing is, if you don't master that level, then you're bound to repeat it again and again and again, and it becomes a cycle. It's because you haven't actually mastered that villain at that particular level. So deal with your villains, deal with the fact that somebody violated your boundaries when you were a kid, someone violated your boundaries early on in your life or in your understanding of relationships. And then once you have that understanding, once you've unpacked that, and once you've actually shirked off the identity that you've allowed yourself to become with it, then you can move forward into the next level. And I think the last thing that I'll say is a lot of us allow ourselves to enter into new relationships without healing from the old ones.
Facts.
And that's another reason as to why our boundaries keep on getting violated again and again. We are bringing literally broken shards of glass from a past season into a new season. Suddenly it becomes really difficult to heal and move on and actually enjoy the fruits of what might actually be a healthy relationship because you haven't gotten past the transgression of a past relationship. Suddenly there's a whole bunch of victim blaming, there's a whole bunch of like false projection, and then we see the deterioration of even healthy relationships because we still haven't dealt with the systemic issues from the past season.
So
I think that a lot of us actually do need to sit with that as well before we move on and take our time.
I agree with you on that.
When it comes to dating as well, listen, I am all for people getting into long-term, healthy, happy relationships. I am all for marriage, all that kind of... go and be free, sis. Listen, I get it. You want to be with your man, you want to knack, baby. I get it. You want somebody to be with at night. You know, you want somebody to take care of you. You want somebody to be going to all of these nice places with. You know, you want somebody to be emotionally there for you. I get it. But sometimes good things take time.
Yeah, exactly. And they're worth waiting for.
And they're worth waiting for. If you didn't listen to our last podcast episode, which is literally about it'll be worth the wait, you should probably listen to that too. But these things are worth the wait.
Yeah.
So it's okay. You don't have to rush this dating process.
Please.
Take your time. People are mad out here.
And also you don't have to compromise.
Absolutely.
You do not have to compromise. I think women are often taught, even if it's subliminally, that you have to compromise on your dating standards.
Yeah.
And we're not just talking about the superficial stuff and your expectations and blah, blah, blah. We're talking about the bare bones of safety and respect and somebody seeing you as a human being whose boundaries are, you know, worth honoring.
Yep.
You don't have to compromise on these very integral things in order to, you know, meet somebody else's deadline for your life or live up to someone else's expectations or give in to other people's fears and rushing you, it's okay. Like, mm-hmm. these things are not worth compromising. And I think you would ultimately be upset with your past self at some point, mm-hmm. that you allowed yourself to make that choice, mm-hmm. and that mm-hmm. you didn't stick by what you knew was right for you, and you allowed other people or maybe society or these subliminal messages to bully you into accepting something that was actually beneath you. Mm-hmm. So don't do it. Don't do it.
It's beneath you.
It is beneath you. It
smells. Okay. I want to talk a little bit about creating those boundaries.
Yes.
Because sometimes it can be difficult to know what exactly is a healthy boundary, right? There are boundaries that we think are, you know, normal. Surely everybody adheres to these kind of boundaries. Yeah. And you enter into the dating world and realize, wow, some people are ruffians. Some people have completely different, well, no, genuinely speaking, there are some people that are, okay, maybe not ruffians, but they are allowing themselves to be made manifest as a ruffian season of their life. Wow. They're a ruffian.
Wow.
And then sometimes the problem is not necessarily other people with their wayward boundaries or their different worldviews, but sometimes the problem is actually us in our expectations, sometimes our boundaries. I've had a whole bunch of conversations with women and sisters that may have what feels like almost unrealistic expectations or unrealistic boundaries when it comes to the dating space.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts on this? How do women create what feels like healthy boundaries that respects them and keeps them safe, but at the same time doesn't put a disproportionate amount of responsibility on potential suitors, other people, to try and knock down the fortress or knock down the castle that's been built to get to them?
I think the first thing is boundaries are unique to you. I think if your boundaries or I think if your dating boundaries or your dating expectations have mostly been shaped by social media or culture or people around you, you really have to take a step back and look at this, you know, long list of stuff that you expect or you want to maintain and think, is this actually reflective of me? Is this actually reflective of what makes me feel safe, what makes me feel happy? Or is this as a result of other people have told me this is what respect looks like, or this is what love looks like, or this is what pursuit looks like? So for example, you were talking about that physical touch thing. If, for example, I had heard that from you, I was like, oh my gosh, yeah, because somebody shouldn't touch me on the first day. I am a precious jewel. Why should anyone use their filthy hands to touch me? But long actually, do you know what I mean? But actually, a man putting his hand on my leg doesn't make me uncomfortable. Like, it doesn't make me feel any type of way. It doesn't make you right or me wrong or vice versa. Yep. It actually is just a unique thing about you, your character, your disposition. And so I think this is why it's important for women to just know themselves. Right. Like, what do you like? What don't you like? And don't adopt somebody else's boundaries or somebody else's desires or somebody else's expectations because they make it seem superior.
That's
not true. It doesn't make you more feminine because you don't do this or you do that on the first date. Like, it's just you and your personal philosophies, your personal the way that you've decided to live your life. And so I think being a woman who is firstly acquainted with your own principles, acquainted with your own personality, will allow you to have authentic boundaries. Are these boundaries authentic to you? I would then say too, you have to test it out. I think the way that I've learned a lot about my boundaries is by people actually violating them. And I'm not saying put yourself in dangerous positions, but sis, you have to go on the dates to understand what are your boundaries and what aren't, right? Yeah. What do you expect from men and what don't you? Because I find that a lot of women, because maybe they don't date as much, a lot of this is just in their head. Like, it's pure theorizing, which is fine, because obviously if you don't have the experience, all you can do is theorize.
Yep.
But once you date a bit more and you actually put yourself out there, you get to test out, does this actually really matter to me? Yep. Or actually maybe you start to realize there are things that you never even thought of that actually irk you to the core that you're seeing people do continuously. And then I think the third thing for me is also, now that you've observed these things through actually doing the dating, take a step back and think, what is a closed hand issue or an open hand issue? Mm-hmm. What are the issues that like this is a non-negotiable, and what are the issues where I don't like it, but to be honest, it's actually not worth fighting
not
for.
That deep, yeah.
Like, for example, I don't like listening to people chew. I really hate it. It could kill me. I could actually die. But as I've matured, I've started to realize it's not actually that deep. It's not worth fighting on. It's just not worth fighting on.
And if you chew open mouthed.
No, that is feral.
We got to talk about that.
That is a wildlife. That is wildlife.
Are you Tarzan?
God,
food etiquette.
There are animals that eat deeper than that. Don't be dumb.
Not chop, chop, chop. That's a boundary. I'm sorry.
But to be very honest with you, that's just a lack of self-respect. How are you eating like that?
Some people went the way that they were brought up. You never know.
And we are incompatible. We are incompatible. Clearly, our upbringing is incompatible. But like, I used to really nitpick on like any sound that I hear from. I'm like, I don't like that. But as I've gotten older, I'm like, this is not a hill worth dying on. Do you get what I mean? And actually, it just raises up more issues than it brings about change. Yeah. So for me, it's just like, I've now assessed, okay, as much as this was a boundary, it's actually an open hand issue.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But then there are some things, like I illustrated at the beginning, that are closed. That is never going to sit well with me.
I don't do that.
You know, so I think you have to know, what am I fighting for? What are the hills I'm willing to die on? Or what are the things that are my non-negotiables? I will let you go for the maintenance of this kind of peace, or what am I? I could deal with it. So I really think it comes down to the self-awareness piece.
Yeah.
And allowing yourself to, like I said, stand 10 toes down on what it is that you do end up coming up with, you know? How you feel is how you feel. What makes you feel safe is what makes you feel safe. It could be based on, you know, your past experiences. It could be based on the things that you have seen happen to other women. Whatever it is, if you feel like this is it, these are my closed hand issues, stick by them. And I think feeling empowered and feeling confident, like by either the culture you're in or what you expose yourself to, will help you to maintain those things.
Right.
To help you to know that, actually, no, I'm a smart woman. Yeah. I'm a wise woman, and I know myself. So after assessing these things and after becoming this woman, I've realized these are my non-negotiables. Mm. These are my boundaries. And I know why I've put them in place. I've put them in place to keep me safe. Yeah. I've put them in place to keep me happy. And so I'll happily articulate them to you. I'll happily explain them to you. I'll happily have discourse after you maybe even violate them to let you know, oh, by the way, you stepped over a line.
Don't do that.
There's a line here. I don't think you saw it. You can step back. Yeah, because it's fine. You know, these lines are invisible, but there is a line here. You crossed it. Just go back. It's okay.
I'm going to issue you a ticket.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's all right. I don't need to punish you. You know, I don't need to punish you. It's a warning. It's a boundary there. And then, you know, I also have the confidence to say, oh, you're back over this line. Why'd you keep doing that?
Why are we so close?
Do you know what I mean? You keep doing this. What's going on? Let's sit down and talk about that. But I think it's a woman who is confident in her own voice, confident in her own choices, who can even have that conversation that says, you know, 1, 2, 3 strikes, sir.
You're out of here.
Thank you.
Hello.
So I think you have to also have that in order to create and maintain your own boundaries as well. But what do you think?
No, I pretty much agree. I think understanding the purpose of your boundaries is key, and understanding who you are as a person, because you can't just lift boundaries off of social media or from culture or society. However, the only place that you can lift boundaries from is the Bible.
Yeah. And maybe this podcast. But the reason why I was going to say that is so insidious, actually, is because a lot of times people come on the internet to say they'll never allow this, they'd never allow that. But actually, that's a lie.
In fact, because you allowed it, that's why you're here to talk about it.
It's actually quite hypocritical.
You're here to talk about it.
And then you'll be so, so sad when, you know, you have listened to absolutely everybody's dating advice. Oh, I would never accept this from her. I'd never accept that.
That's
and then you're single and you're happy, but then they are not. And they're accepting the nonsense that they said they would never accept. I thought we were all in this together.
Support the sisters.
Thank you.
Stop that rubbish.
Yeah, don't be deceived.
Yeah, no, people can come on this internet to lie. And when people are sharing boundaries that worked in their life, yeah, it doesn't mean that it will work for you. You live in a completely different life and in a completely different context. This is about you taking responsibility for your own happiness, your own welfare, your own relationships. These people that are giving you advice on the internet, they're not going to be there. They're actually not going to be. Even us, we're not always going
to
be there.
I apologize to tell you.
We're not all. You can stream us from morning till night. And we'd advise that you do that.
Yeah.
Get our downloads up. Yeah.
Actually, sister, share this with a group chat, please. So just send someone a cheeky WhatsApp.
Have a conversation about what are your boundaries.
Facts.
And also cross-reference with people in your real life as well. Because oftentimes the people that are closest around to you give you more of an insight as to what is realistic or what makes sense. Having said that, if you are currently with scallywags and ruffians and you know it, no, genuinely.
Literally, you're rolling with bad people.
Because there's some friends. You're loose. Anything goes. Yeah? There's people, maybe don't be sending it to them. Yeah. Sure. Okay, just be guided. Have wisdom. But oftentimes having friends, having accountability, having people to cross-reference with is important rather than allowing your accountability to be echo chambers on the internet.
Dangerous game.
Talking about dating in silos, talking about men as if they are these dehumanized vessels that just have to, you know, bow down to whatever we decide is appropriate for the day. Because tomorrow you'll be listening to another podcast that will tell you that this is wrong and this is right.
Men
and
then briefing is an issue.
The day after, and vice versa as well, because I know that there are some very interesting podcasts that are being spearheaded by men about some of the boundaries that they have for women as well that I think are egregious at best. Don't allow your life and your boundaries to be dictated by random strangers online. They're strangers. They don't know you. It's a parasocial relationship. And don't allow just the prevailing culture to dictate to you how to keep yourself safe. That culture is not going to be there when you are actually put in an instance, put in a real life interaction with a human being, and things are going tits up. They're not going to be there.
Honestly, listen to our episode on, I think it's called Social Media Has Ruined Our Dating Expectations or something. And even as you were saying that, I feel like it's my quarterly reminder that the kingpins of the red pill community are either dead or felons. So model yourself after people you would like to become. Now, if your aspiration is to die prematurely and to go to jail on a federal case. Fine, you're walking in the right footsteps, aren't you? I think you found your path.
You can tell them by their fruits. A tale as old as time. And this is why we often say the Bible. The Bible. Watch the fruits. Don't watch what they say. Watch the fruits. What are they producing? What have you seen? Glory. Even those that are talking about navigating the dating scene, have they been in healthy, happy, thriving relationships?
Can they be?
There have been many an expose.
Because the men love to come up in these comments, well, you guys are single, you ain't married, but we're not in jail. And as you can see, we are alive.
And well, and thriving with many a fruit in our garden.
Glory be.
So please be guided, follow, create your boundaries and make sure that you are actually at the center of them. And please, please, please stay away from these echo chambers. They can only be maybe 10% of what you add.
Yeah.
Go and ask people in real life.
Yeah.
Speak to people that, you know, have the fruit of what you desire. Again, another reminder, if it is that you desire marriage or long-term relationships, get around people that have that.
Yeah.
Because oftentimes, don't get me wrong, our single sisters, we love you girls. But there is wisdom that can be gleaned from people that are a bit, not even further ahead, but people that are in a season that you also aspire to be in, right? In the same way that if you're looking for an epic career or you're trying to pivot, you get the wisdom from someone that's already there or somebody that's navigated it well. That's another call. Some of you sisters that are married, I said healthy, please. Or some of you that are in long-term relationships, I said healthy and happy, because sometimes we think by virtue of having the thing or having, you know, a husband or a partner, we're happy and thriving and healthy. No, the possession of the thing is not indicative of its health.
So, I
guess to just briefly land. just to briefly land the plane. how do women go on that process of creating their boundaries? Like what, what are some of the key activities or some of the key things that women should be doing when it comes to creating their boundaries, and how can they implement them slash maintain them in the heat of dating?
Yeah, I think one, just think about what makes you feel comfortable. I think this is why friendships are also important. Necessary. Because I think they also teach us about our boundaries as people. Like I know my friends love to banter, but there is a certain line you do not cross. Yeah. There is a certain line we do not cross. Like you won't catch us cussing each other out and you ha ha ha. It's not a joke.
No.
We'll end up not being friends.
Well, that's when we'll end up in jail.
We'll end up not being friends. That's not a joke. So I think learning that from my friendships has also allowed me to be like, I don't think I would like that from a relationship either.
Yeah.
I think one, like, just learn like what makes me comfortable, what makes me uncomfortable from people, what is that stemming from? Is this something I need to change, or I'm actually happy with myself being like this? So then what does this look like in dating?
Yeah.
You know? And so I think that's a good train of thought to kind of follow. I'd also say, like you said, run them by people, you know, or ask people, like, especially if you've never dated before and you just don't know what that terrain is like. Like, ask people, what some of you guys is dating? Like, how do you date? What are your expectations? What are your boundaries? Tell me some of your dating tales. And then you'll just hear stuff and you'll think, yeah, I'd never want that to
not
be
interested.
Me. Or, you know, yeah, that makes sense. Or you can have that, but that's not really me. So yeah, I think it all stems from, like I said, self-awareness. I don't think this is anything you necessarily need to write down, but if you find yourself coming from a past of very unhealthy relationships, and I do think there's a deeper work that needs to be done of somewhat cultivating your own manifesto that you use to remind yourself, because I do think, and I know this is going to sound really deep, but past experiences, especially past traumas, have a way of disempowering you, especially with your own critical or pessimistic thoughts. And so when those things do arise, oh no, you don't deserve a good relationship, you don't deserve safety, you don't deserve for somebody to, you know, honor your boundaries, especially if they've been disrespected in some of the most grievous ways in the past, you have to have something maybe there that's written down or easy to see that allows you to counteract those kind of thoughts. Like, you know, I know this is quite graphic, but if you are somebody who's been sexually abused a lot in the past, or even once before in the past, I think that dark voice in our mind can tell us, like, you don't deserve to be physically protected, or no one's going to ever honor your physical boundaries. And that's a lie. So I think you may have to have something more penned down, or even a conversation with some kind of a therapist or some kind of counsel to really reinforce in your heart that no, your boundaries, your physical, mental, sexual boundaries are worth honoring by men, women, whatever. And so yeah, I would say it kind of comes down to sitting down and really thinking. I think you need to take time away, all of us, to just think, like, I want to date. What does that look like for me?
What does that look like for me?
Yeah.
No, I absolutely love that. Very, very much love that. I think really having a conception of what does your most empowered version of you look like, like really just describing her. I love that you mentioned like writing it down. For you guys that are painters out there, you might want to paint, you might want to draw, you know, but actually having a concept of the kind of woman you really want to be, because when we leave things to interpretation, or we leave things to how we feel on a particular day, then we won't ever get that consistency, which is indicative of character. So be clear on the kind of woman that you want to be. Describe her. What are her traits? What is the way that she behaves? What is the way that people interact with her? And that will inform the boundaries that you need to implement on a daily basis. Not even just with friends, but actually in a romantic setting too. I love that you mentioned, you know, learning from friendships as well, because I feel like friendships are safe spaces where you can experiment a little bit, right? And you're experimenting with people that know you. So you have the benefit of a little bit of familiarity to be able to bounce off of people, to understand what they've been through, for them to understand what you've been through, and to be able to kind of vibe with you and let you know whether this boundary makes sense or not, or whether this boundary is reasonable in the context of dating. So definitely lean on trusted friends, people that have produced fruit, people that actually have your best interest at heart, because sometimes we may be interacting with people that don't necessarily have our best interest at heart. It doesn't mean they don't love you. It just means they don't have your best interest at heart. The two are completely different. Yeah. I can have love for you, but not care for you.
Mm.
Make sure that the people that you have around you, that you are vibing with, that are informing your boundaries, are people that actually care for your best interest and want to see the best version of you. I think it's super, super important. And then actually going on the dates. You don't have to line up a stack of dates. Some of us were dating every single night.
Woo!
Every single night. It's a lot. And if you're... what you see in a different man. Listen, let me not yuck your yum, because yo, if you get a different cuisine every night, one day is Chinese, tomorrow we're going to India, Caribbean the next night.
And then you wonder why you have a tummy ache.
Fam. Mm-hmm. No, but can you imagine every single day? What's your favorite color?
Please.
Well, if that's you, then I love it for you. Me, I don't have the capacity.
You need to start handing out cards. Please. This is my initial diagnostic.
Do you know what's funny? I saw somebody on Instagram actually that had like a diagnostic form questionnaire before she dates people. You don't have to do all of that. No. But you should mentally at least have some kind of checklist or some kind of idea as to what are your green and red lights, what are some things that you find comfortable, what you know find uncomfortable. And then the last thing that I will say is the same thing that I said at the beginning of this episode, which is to take your time.
Yeah.
Take your time. There is nobody is going to fight you. Mm-hmm. Nobody is going to beef you. Even those people that are telling you that you're running out of time, even when you run out of time, Sha, they're not going to be there. They're not going there. Too many people that have too much to say with such little investment in our lives.
Yeah.
If they don't have any stocks or shares in your life, then this is what they have to say is not important in the grand scheme. It's just irrelevant. Don't give them power or authority to dictate how and what boundaries you implement in your life. Don't allow fear. Don't allow this false sense of rushing to enter into your life. Take your time with it, because boundaries, they're so important. They're literally the manual as to how we navigate the world and how we want the world to navigate us.
Mm-hmm.
So take your time. You're worth protecting. You are worth safeguarding. You are worth it all.
Facts. I was going to say one thing on that dating point as well. After every date as well, assess what went well, what didn't I really like? Not nitpick, but just assess. And I think that will also help you to just be, especially as you meet more unique people.
Oh, that's like, the word, unique.
Oh, you know, it's like, oh, actually, never thought I'd encounter that. Never want to encounter that again. Blue. Or actually, I've realized there's something that I like that this person has done that I've never experienced before, never heard of before. Let's go.
Bob's your uncle and all that jazz. Well, sisters, unfortunately, we have a boundary that we need to adhere to and honor, which is the end of this episode. Let us know in the comments below over here on YouTube, but also on Spotify, what boundaries in dating do you have? Had you have? Those of you that are further along, give us some gems. What you got for us?
Yeah, man.
What you experienced? Those of you that are still in the process, give us some gems, but also give us some tales. I want to see in the comments, I remember four school many years ago when I was a teen, when I was in my 20s. We want to hear all of those stories and more. So drop it like it's hot in the comments below. And of course, follow us on all of our social media platforms so that you never miss a hit from TMS. At To My Sisterhood, literally everywhere, everything, every platform wherever you can find us is at To My Sisterhood. Join it. And of course, come and follow us individually. You can follow my lovely, wise, encouraging, and recently turned 27 bestie at CD Boateng. And of course, come and follow me over at Renee Kapuku.
We love to see it. And of course, you got to make sure you sign up to our mailing list. Like we described in housekeeping announcements, there's a lot of exciting stuff coming to the sisterhood. International sisters, keep your eyes. Guys, I am even giving you so much prior knowledge, This is so in advance, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Please get yourself signed up to the mailing list. I don't want to hear him when the second half of this year comes and you're hearing about certain drops, certain opportunities, certain events, certain locations. I don't want to hear, is there any more? I haven't got the link. Where's the link?
I got nothing for you.
I'm so sorry. So go to twomysisters.com. Even do it now. If you're hearing the sound of my voice, go to mysisters.com. Open your phone, your laptop, any device connected to the internet. Twomysisters.com. If you want the spelling, it's the name of this podcast.
Come on now.
And then you type in your email address and you hit join. boom, you are part of the mailing list, sisters. Okay,
don't be embarrassing.
Join the mailing list. Not only do you get a weekly love note straight to your inbox, where we divulge such wisdom, tips, philosophical thoughts, okay, to you that will encourage you for the week.
Come on now.
We also give you exclusive access to things we have been planning for months.
Be for real.
Experiences.
Experiences.
Oh,
community.
Please.
Gathering.
Don't do that to yourself.
Shy.
Yes. So yeah, sign up to the mailing list.
Don't miss out.
Don't miss out. Oh, also sorry. I know I'm always saying rate the podcast 5 stars.
But actually, come back.
Yeah. Can you rate the podcast 5 stars since you're here anyway? But can you rate our book? If you've read our book, please head to Amazon and rate it. Let the people know what you thought about it. Drop a review. Let's, you know, get it charting and all of that good stuff. Thank you.
Five star. Yes. If you have anything below
but Amazon, Amazon is actually ruthless. Yeah, let's not even police them.
Yeah, rate it. And them things there, buy it for a friend, support.
Than 3 or 2 stars, please, I beg of you, don't. Public shame is not our portion. Don't do that. We tried our best. It's our first book.
We really did. Okay. Maybe the next book will be better. Sorry. Sorry, besties. Sorry. Ah, please, pen us. Anyway, sisters, we love you. Have a fantastic start to this month. Yeah. And as always, keep glowing and growing.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.